is happening, people in your webs? Welcome back to another episode of Jesus and Coffee. In today's episode, I've got my friend Jen. She's come in. We're talking about her story, about why she believes Jesus is God, not a liar, her growing up all the way from being a PK to now working at a church. And if you don't know what a PK is, you'll find out in this episode. All right, guys, without further ado, here is my friend Jen Jean on the Jesus and Coffee Show. So Jen, thank you so much for joining me here.
Thanks,
in
Todd,
the studio. And I'm excited to talk about your journey. We've been around each other some.
Yeah.
We host one of the best shows on the internet, This Week at Friends. We might have to host some more things outside of
definitely.
That because I think it's pretty awesome. But I really just am interested to hear your story and talk about the thing we've been talking about on the show is Jesus God or a liar? And at some point in everyone's life, they have to decide. Yeah. As much as we want to say, well, it's 100% based on evidence or it's 100% based on whatever the other thing is, you have to make a decision because we can't know everything. Yeah. We have finite minds dealing with an infinite God. So for you, where does your story kind of start with your journey to make that decision? Wait, let me start back up.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us what your decision is now, or are you going to wait until after you tell us the story?
Well, I don't think Jesus is a liar.
Good. Okay. We're on the same page.
I think he's the Son of God. I grew up in a home and a family that, like, we went to church. My dad was actually a pastor and so we grew up, like, you know, reading the Bible, knowing Bible stories, going to church all the time. I mean, that was just my growing up, was that. South County, like Redondo Beach.
Oh,
area.
Southern California.
Yeah, okay. Southern California. Yeah. So I actually went to kindergarten and was like, Santa Claus is a myth, guys. He's not real.
You were the one that broke it to your
friends.
I was
the one that broke it to me. I didn't even know who Santa was. Like, we didn't do Santa house.
Oh.
No, we didn't do it. Christmas was Jesus. We didn't even do Santa. So I'm like getting to kindergarten.
Wow.
I'm like,
hardcore.
Who's this Santa? What is this guy? And I was like, no, he's not real. So yeah, I was that kid. so like all that to say is that I think it's actually one of the greatest gifts that God has ever blessed me with is the fact that faith was instilled very, very early. Mm. So I've never had a hard time believing. Doubt is not something I normally struggle with at all. But that doesn't mean that I, you know, stuck to that road at all. So grew up going to church, and knowing who God was, knowing who Jesus was, believing the whole, you know, he died on the cross and God sent a son, all that stuff, all Bible stories I believed. But then, you know, it also, I think growing up in that environment made it so that church was just a very social thing for me too. So it wasn't as much as like, oh, I have this personal relationship with Jesus, he's my savior. It was more like, this is reality. Like, the earth is round. Jesus is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just move on with life. So, yeah. So I went to church, all the time, but again, it was a really social, social
which
thing.
For most of us that grew up in the church, that was where we went to hang out. That's where we made friends.
All
That's
my
where
friends.
I met my wife.
Yeah. And then, you know, our family, we had some things, you know, happen. My parents got divorced when I was 13. And I think there just was some shifts and changes and things that kind of happened with our lives. We weren't the cookie cutter. My dad's a pastor and we go to church all the time. It was, it got really messy. And that was back too. I mean, I'm kind of old. So that was back in the pretty much. That was in the 80s.
So your dad was a pastor.
Your dad was a pastor.
And then they got divorced. And that had to be, just from a family dynamic standpoint, difficult.
So it was. I think there was a lot of things. You know, my dad was a pastor when we were little. And then he was invited to go to a college in Illinois and be a chaplain there.
Oh.
So he moved, he ran his own church. Mm. Also, hey dad, if you're listening.
we love you, dad.
Yeah, I love you, dad. So he was they were a small, little evangelical church, like a house church basically when I was little. And then we moved to Illinois. He was the chaplain there for a couple of years at this college. And then we got hired by a big, well-known church here in Orange County.
Oh.
And we came to Fullerton, and we lived in Bray, actually. Okay. And then my dad was a pastor.
Are you allowed to say the church?
I think so. He was at UB Free.
Okay.
So yeah. So I grew.
There's only so many big churches
in that time. So at that time, I think my dad was just having. This doesn't have to be by all about that, but like he was kind of ready, I think, to step out of ministry, and he was really interested in becoming a therapist. So he actually had sort of taken a step down. Mm. But I think the whole like being a pastor in that time period, because mm-hmm. it was like 83, right around there, like mm-hmm. 80s, early 80s. And like, it just wasn't a thing where you could be like, there's a lot of grace there. It felt mm-hmm. like a really big deal.
Yeah. So there's still not a lot of grace.
Yeah.
It's hard. Hate to break it to you.
That's true. There's not a lot of grace sometimes, yeah. but, you know, the church should be someplace that offers a lot of grace. And,
amen.
And again, looking back, I mean, I only know my side of it as sure. like a 13-year-old girl yeah. who doesn't know what's going on. So it's a little rough. So basically what happened was we stopped going to church as much because I think my mom was just sort of over it. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to go back to that church. My dad had already left that church. Mm-hmm. And so, which for me ended up being a really big deal because that was my entire social life. Mm. And, you know, they always say like the PK kids are the worst. Although PK is a thing. Preacher's kids are the worst.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just the like, I sort of lost my star rating, you know, like we were like the family in the church and then it was like, my popularity dropped.
your popularity or just from the standpoint of potentially the trust of the expectation that you have of the pastor's family. That's something we talked about with John Irving, was the expectation of pastors to be perfect, yeah. which is impossible because we're imperfect humans.
It is impossible.
Right? That's the whole reason Jesus even came. Yeah. So we put that expectation, and if something ever even slightly wrong goes bad, like we hear about the pastors nowadays where you find out they have some hidden sin, no matter how bad it is, you feel lied to, and then all of a sudden now them and their entire family who you are totally disconnected from it.
Yeah.
Your status, I'll put that in quotes, your status drops because of the fact that, oh, surprise, you're human.
Yeah.
Right?
It felt at the time like very humiliating, very like shaming. I don't think that was the case. Like, I don't think that like the people there were like necessarily.
It wasn't directly,
I just think that like my perception of it at that age, and I think my mom just felt hurt. So we ended up really not going to church. So I would still go a little bit because I think by then I was like junior high and doing all the fun stuff. But yeah, that's kind of where I sort of fell off the sort of consistent path of, you know, living a life that was lining up with what Jesus would want me to do. So yeah, I spent most of my teens, all of my 20s, some of my 30s, making some very poor choices. And so really what I did with as far as like how my relationship with God and Jesus at the time was, I just shut the door. It's really kind of the best way I know to describe it.
Sure.
I didn't stop believing that he was there. I just, in my own life, was so hurting and so broken. And there's actually like I'm an open book, so like I'm happy to talk about anything. I just don't want to take up like your whole show.
No.
But there's actually a ton of stuff that like just really, really affected me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we just shut it down. Like we just didn't talk about it.
You consciously did or you subconsciously did?
I think a lot of it would have maybe been, it was really early. So I think there's a lot of like subconscious. And I think our family dynamic was just such that like we, you know, I have a great relationship with my dad today. I have a great relationship with my mom today. But we just, I think early on there was just this like, everybody put your happy face on and go stand at the church and everything's okay. Like we weren't allowed to not be okay, which really affected me later as far as like believing that there was a lot of hypocrisy in church.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think when you're behind the scenes, cause I grew up, my parents grew up singing. We'd go to different churches all the time. My grandpa was a worship pastor and my folks split when I was 10. So like I've felt some of that, probably not to the same level because there was it's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But the idea that, again, the expectations of people that are at church that are putting on the face every Sunday, and then there's this hidden secret.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, there's this shame.
Yeah, that's actually a really great like example of what I'm thinking. Yeah, it was. It did just felt like, oh, we're not the perfect family anymore, and like it was a lot of work to keep that up, and no one really thought we were on the like on our side, but it just felt like a lot. So
the people that knew you the best,
the people that knew us the best. Yeah, yeah. So you know, fast forward, I made a lot of choices that had a lot of consequences. Mm-hmm. So really, I found myself, having just like a lot of really difficult relationships. Mm. I got married really, really young. I started having kids really young. And didn't, you know, didn't even ask God or invite Jesus into any of that. Like effectively, I do think I just shut the door on him. Mm. And I don't know that it was a conscious, like, hey, I'm done with you, God. I think it was more like, I'm hurting, I'm broken. I know who you are, God, but I don't think that we actually have that like relationship, because it wasn't something, it was social for me. Like it was like knowledge, like head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. Yeah. And like, you know, I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 5, and I did it like every summer camp for like my entire life.
So
like
repeatedly,
Jesus has been coming into my heart.
It's a revolving door.
It is. I mean, literally every summer I was like, yes, I want to receive Jesus. And yes, like, I did it last year.
Jen's going to camp again. All right, guys, you ready? Okay.
Yeah, so true. But
I think the thing that's funny is that's not unique to your situation.
Oh gosh, no.
All of us that grew up is like, oh, did I really do it last time? Did it count?
Right. And it's like that whole thing. Like, am I saved? Am I saved? And it's like, for what?
Exactly.
So all of that to say that, you know, I do truly think that, like, you know, as a child, I legitimately did ask Jesus to come into my heart. So Holy Spirit did reside in me for my entire, like, has always been with me. I didn't understand his power or the relationship of that, but it wasn't something that I was missing.
Sure.
So I think that kind of can fast forward to, you know, there would be moments where, you know, I would just have these like thoughts, because I mean, I wasn't living any kind of life that was fulfilling. I had a lot of pain, a lot of brokenness, and I was really, really good at denying it, really good at numbing it, really good at, like, you know,
just suppressing it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you would have these like, that can only go for so long. And then you'd have these like blow up moments. And so there would always be this kind of thing that would come up for me where I'd be like, what do I think about God? Oh, I don't want to. I don't want to think about God. So I'll just shut that door again.
Yeah.
You know, because I think at the time, I think I felt really like God's not going to be a fan of anything that's going on in my life. And so
back to that shame again.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, shame is a huge thing. Mm. So like I said, made a lot of choices that had a lot of consequences. And you know, consequences are not necessarily a bad thing. I have four amazing kids and I love them and they're awesome. But there were a lot of choices that I made that were damaging to myself, damaging to others. And so I pretty much just found myself, I think I was probably 36 at the time, and I had four kids and I had been divorced already once. I was remarried was, you know, really struggling, like really, really struggling. And it's all
from a faith standpoint or from
like an emotional
physical, just like life.
Like life.
Just like life was heavy.
Yeah. Like I found myself really depressed. I was in not a healthy relationship at all, and found myself really struggling with that. And, you know, really just feeling like hopeless, depressed, because it had taken so much energy to keep the face on of everything's fine.
You were still doing that.
Still doing it. My entire life has been, what does it look like on the outside? Okay, we're good. We're good.
Is that because of the fear of condemnation from others or the judgment? Or is that just internally you need to do that so that you can hide the whatever the feelings
are? Probably both. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever felt any like outside pressure necessarily from my family of like,
not
oh, hey,
directly, no.
Yeah. But I think just in general, you know, I truly believe that, like, you know, there's a lot of like, I think we can all be free, like totally free. Like, I think God can break chains, break bondage. But I do think that, you know, we do have the enemy and he knows what's going to work with us.
Yeah.
And like generationally, I think some stuff sticks. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, just generationally, our family was kind of used to like, put on the good face, hide, and you know, keep the shame down low. So anyways, I found myself in a season where I just wasn't really able to keep doing life the way I had been before. It was just like I was, you know, really, really depressed and not doing great. And I reached out to like my old like junior high leader, which is so funny.
Wow.
So junior high leaders, stick with it because you never know. I was like 36 and this was someone that had like been in my life when I was like 12 or 13 years old, you know?
Yeah.
Reached out to him and was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I know God's real.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, I'm a mess. And he was really gracious and was just like, you know, you've always been really smart. Which was very kind of him to say. But like, you know, you're just not going to be able to suppress it anymore. Like you're like, it's just not lining up. Like your brain is no longer able to like keep things down. Your emotions are sort of catching up with you. So you're going to need to figure out like, who is God to you? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And
you were how old at this time?
I was 36.
Okay.
Married, 4 kids. My husband is not a believer. And
what about your kids? How did you raise your kids?
So we didn't go to church at all. It's actually a really cool story. Could be a whole nother sign when you want to talk about kids.
Yeah.
My oldest son, his best friend, they went to church. And so they would be like, and then some of them, my younger son too, like they had brothers. So like they were like family friends.
Yeah.
And so she was like, she's one of my best friends today. And she'd always be like, yeah, they can spend the night Saturday. They're going to church with me on Sunday. I was like, perfect. Means I can like recover from my hangover, you know, take them. I'll
right.
do my thing.
Right.
But so like the boys went to church from really early. So I actually credit my oldest son, Riley, with having like really started praying for his family before any of us were, you know, ever.
Wow.
Yeah. So, so I just kind of was like having this like existential crisis, I guess, of like, what am I going to do with God? Cause I know he's real, but like, I don't know what to do. And I ended up, kind of going to my husband at the time and saying like, I'm just not doing well. Like I'm really depressed. I'm like hiding a lot of things. Like I would like send the kids to school and I'd come home and I'd stay in bed all day. And then we'd be panicked because like nothing was done. And he was like, maybe you should go to church, which is hysterical because he's not a, you know, he's not a believer. And so I was like, yeah, maybe. And so we lived actually right by EV Free. And so I was like, I'll do that. So I like found myself one Sunday going back there and it was like not pretty because I, you know, the Holy Spirit, like he just tugs and, you know, he's going to be at work. But like, I just started sobbing when I walked in on the campus, like not just
but
like,
you just got to the campus,
and like losing my mind. And I'm like, oh gosh, yeah, there's gotta be stuff I've got to deal with here. And so anyways, I don't need to take this forever, but like that was not the place for me because I was like, so like not
because of the history.
Yeah. Because of the history, because at this point, like I hadn't had any kind of like, counseling or therapy. Like I was just kind of this big mess, this big ball of mess
that you hadn't dealt with
in
23 years,
yeah. And walked into church, which by the way,
wow.
You know what? Guys, if that's you, please come to church because it's just like, that's just, well, Jesus, come to Jesus. So anyways, walked into church, wasn't the place for me at that moment. Had a friend who was like, oh, try this. So I ended up signing up for a women's retreat super randomly with a church that I didn't want to be a part of. Not the church that I'm at now.
Full disclaimer.
Nor EV Free.
Yeah.
By the way, I think most churches are great. So, this isn't a bashing church thing at all.
No.
But ended up going to this women's retreat. And like the minute I signed up, I was literally like, oh, I got to get out of this. What am I going to do? Cause I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. Or I wasn't at the time.
Because of the way that those kind of things are run.
Yeah. I just think I was super sensitive to hypocrisy. And even when hypocrisy wasn't there, things would stick out to me and I'd feel like, well, they can't actually be that nice. They can't actually be that real. Like
it would
they can't
trigger you back
trigger
too.
Me. Yeah. And so, but I ended up going and, you know, I probably knew like 8 people that I could have asked, you know, friends of the kids and stuff that I could have said, hey, you want a room with me? And I went to hide. I literally went to hide. I was like, I've already signed up. I can't say no. I'll go. I'll hide.
Yeah.
I'll just, you know, be invisible and I'll be done with this thing. And so the whole retreat was on like, balance, you know, and it was like, you know, how do you do these things? And so I got there and like the Friday night, like I'm sitting in the worship session and I'm just bawling. I mean, like not just like, oh, I have a tear, like I'm
ugly
like
cry.
Heaving, sobbing.
Yeah.
And you know, people are looking at me like, do we reach out to her? Do we let her be? And so, yeah, I just was kind of a mess. And like the Holy Spirit was just starting that work of like kind of tearing things down. So, throughout that whole weekend, I kind of had some different experiences, but I still wasn't quite ready to like kind of release it to, you know, still didn't quite know what to do.
Sure.
Ended up kind of sitting on this, like that Saturday, like where you're supposed to like go do your like alone time and dive into that. I thought, oh, let me look at it. So I opened my Bible. And I really wish that I could remember where, what verse it was. It was somewhere in Psalm. I don't know what verse. It doesn't matter. God knows. But I just kind of sat there for a minute and I remember having this like, thought of like, I know God's real. I just do. Like, I know he's real. And I know Jesus died for me. And so I just started talking to him and I was like, you know, God, I'm sorry. I just feel like I had chosen to do things on my own. I had been super rebellious and I can dive into the like hurt and the why of that. But like, ultimately I was like, I never walked with you. I never asked you to join me. I just wanted to do things my way. And it's not working. I'm super broken. Nothing in my life honors you. Like all my relationships are awful. I'm in a horrible place emotionally. And I just sat there and I was like, I just don't know how to get to you. Like, I know you're real, but I don't know how to get to you, God. And this is the one piece that, I mean, I'm super transparent with my story. It's, I can give you the G, I can give you the PG, I can give you the R. Like we can, like there's a lot of versions, so I got to talk about
we'll
it.
We'll do
like,
an, explicit, an explicit version of this show, this episode in a future timeline.
But like, but you know, the one thing that I always say, like that kind of tears, allows me to feel a little emotion is that I felt the presence of Jesus. And what I mean by that is I've never heard God's voice audibly. I didn't hear Jesus speaking to me, but all I know is that my brain and my body like aligned and there was like peace. I felt peace that I've never felt before. I used to have these like terrible stomach like clenches. And I think there's a lot of just secrets and stress and like your body just really, your body keeps the score. I think that's a book, but like it does.
Yeah.
And so I just had this real peaceful feeling. And I remember feeling in my body, the spirit and the presence of Jesus kind of at my shoulder. And I just felt him speaking to me. Hey, we're good. I've been with you your entire life. Mm-hmm. I've seen everything you've been through. I've seen everything you've done. I've seen everything that was done to you. I know your heart. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get to me. I'm right here. You just have to stop running and you just have to turn around.
Oh.
And it was real.
Yeah.
And it was the presence of Jesus. And I experienced him. Mm-hmm. I experienced his grace. I experienced his love. I experienced his nature wanting to connect with me and wanting to show me what grace means, what mercy means, what love means, what hope means, all through him. And so it was probably one of the first moments in my life that I had such a genuine, like physical and spiritual and emotional response and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so real that I just couldn't deny it, which is incredible because my capacity for denial was insane.
Well, 23 years straight. Yeah.
Yeah. But I couldn't. Like it happened and I felt it. And it was literally at that moment that I went home and was like, well, my life has to change because it's real. And I mean, I didn't do it perfectly. There was a ton. I mean, like that was.
Nobody does.
That was like, how old? Well, I don't know.
36.
So.
Like four 14 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday? No, that was like 14 years ago. And like, and so, I mean, I've been through a lot since then. And I went through like my legalistic phase and all these things, but it's what I actually pray for people when I'm praying is that they would experience the presence of God. Because once you have experienced it, like you can know it in your head, you can, you know, have all the knowledge, but until you can actually like feel,
100%. No, I think that there is a huge balance between experiencing Jesus in a physical and spiritual way and knowing and understanding what the basis of all that is, which I feel like is the Bible, right?
Yeah.
So that's something I've talked with Chris, Pastor Chris Ward about that. about the difference between a knowledge and an experiential faith. And the question I always say is, well, which is better? And he says both.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I think they line up. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's anything where you're like, oh, I'm having this like experience, therefore the Bible. No. Or the Bible, you know, rules. And I think, you know, I think they connect.
Well, I think that's where I see a lot of, like, I don't know if you've noticed, or that just came out today or yesterday, there's a Hawk Nelson lead singer just came out denouncing his faith, deconstructing his faith. But you read his story, and a lot of it has to do with a very charismatic, conservative worldview growing up and not having that, like having the experience, but not necessarily having the intellectual part. Mm. So if you have one without the other, like until they both align, you're incomplete in that.
It's like grace and truth. They have to go together and they don't function well apart.
No.
At all. Mm-mm. So, yeah. So, so for me, Jesus is both an experience, but then also something that I can trust and know to be true. And so, like I said, I don't know if I'm the perfect person to talk about this, because I actually, doubt is not something that I really struggle with. Where I more land would be like, it's more like believing how good he is sometimes, sure. You know, because I think for me, having a lot of shame issues or having a lot of, you know, my relationship with shame, you know, there was a season where it made a lot of sense, because there were a lot of choices where you're like, yeah, you're actually joining. You're like, that's shameful. Sure. Yeah. But then, you know, when you step out and you kind of change some of those behaviors, but you still kind of have those like emotions and feelings attached to it. That's where I think, you know, it took me a long time to kind of, I think where I end up doubting sometimes is like, is God this like mean spirited, super rule oriented, like heavy fisted God, or is he the, you know, this like, you know, kind,
or is he the
loving,
Jesus
yeah.
That we saw, yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that would be more where my doubt can come in sometimes is like, how good are you, God?
Yeah.
How much do you love me? What does that mean?
Yeah. Like, and I think that's a question that a lot of people would ask and say, is there a limit to your goodness? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people take the pastor where he says, how many times should you forgive? Well, 70 times seven. Well, that's only 490. Yeah. I'm way past that.
Way past.
Right? So, I mean, I think that's, we get into the legalistic side and the argument back and forth. But ultimately, I think your point of saying you didn't have the experience, you had the knowledge, you had the history, you had the foundation, but until you had the other side of the relationship, it didn't click.
Yeah.
And I think the for you to say, you know, to have doubts, I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't have a lot of doubts either. Yeah. I mean, I struggle where with like, it's more like, well, am I being too prideful in this?
Yeah.
Because I'm so confident in my faith. And people are like, well, are you sure that that's what you actually believe? Or you're just, you know, is that you or is that God?
So, yeah.
No, I think that's crazy. So for you now with your kids and having them come up, and Holden being a pastor, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And having to see them walk through some of the things maybe that you walk through as at their age.
Yeah.
Are you feeling like, because I feel like everything happens to prepare us for something else. Is there times in your past where you feel like that prepared me to deal with this for my kids or with my kids or through my ministry? Because you are very involved in dealing with people, which is your role.
Yeah, I would say, so specifically for my ministry, I think that my experience of church and family and just, again, my experience of it doesn't necessarily make it true, right? So like my experience of it would be that like I'm super sensitive still to that people feel like they are welcomed and that they don't have to have their act together and they can come as they are and that there's, you know, there's room for them at church. And, you know, I just think God's just not afraid of anything that's going on with us, and he's always willing to meet us wherever we are. And so I think that for me, my experience growing up and all of the relationships that I've had, like it really has allowed me to have just a heart for people in a way that is authentic and genuine, because I don't want to be fake. Like I don't want, you know, I have the greatest story. I won't use her name to protect her, although she wouldn't care. So I'm at church, you know, and I see someone and I don't really know her. I've seen her a couple of times, but like, I'm not friends with her. Like, I just know her. Like, she's a regular person that I've seen, you know, several times. And she walks in and I'm just looking at her. I'm like, you okay? And she's like, no. And I'm like, great, here's my phone number. And it was like, we went out and had a margarita, you know, and that was the way that we ended up connecting. But like, she took a minute to be real with me and I so appreciated it. And I was like, let's be real. And so like, I don't ever want someone to come into church and one, feel like they don't belong there. Like they're, like they're, like they have too much in their past. Like we're not going to accept them. Like, cause frankly, Jesus has way bigger, wider arms than we do.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
I
mean,
and so I think that like, I think that I'm really grateful for, kind of all the stuff that God's done in my life so that I can look at people and see and think you're not necessarily okay. Do you want to talk about, and not press, you know, because when you're ready, you're ready. God's timing is always going to be perfect in our lives and he's going to meet us where we are. And so,
was there anybody for you? I want to go back to you walking into the church and then signing up for the women's retreat. Was there anybody that kind of sat down and walked through this at all with you?
So not in that exact moment, but I made it very, very obvious that I did not want to be approached. Like I had my walls up really hard. So like for someone to come up and approach me in that scenario would have actually been probably, hurtful.
Gotcha. And, for them
and for, and I think I would have been like, oh, typical, like typical, read the room. Like I'm, you know, like here you are, you Christians coming. Yeah.
You're a hypocritical suspicion.
Exactly. Which wouldn't have been their heart. That would have just been my experience of it. But I mean, I did have like my sweet roommate at that time, you know, I'm literally like crying. She's like, you know, there's a prayer room down the hall. And I'm like, I'm fine. And so clearly not mine. You go pray for me.
Yeah.
But you know, in that moment, no. But then, you know, once I, once I kind of decided that I did, you know, you can't do it alone. And that is actually one thing that I, you know, if I'm not in a super healthy spot, like I will default to like, I'm gonna just do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I've, that's been my life is like, you just get it done, do it yourself.
Yep.
That is something that I've learned over time is to kind of allow people in. So right after I had that Jesus moment, I did come home and this is actually another really cool story. I called the church and was like, hey, I need a women's group. Like I need to connect. Like I don't have, you know, many friends that are involved in this. And my only criteria, it was a Sunday that I got home. My only criteria for the group was that they met on Monday. Cause I knew if I waited, I wouldn't go. And that it had to be in Fullerton. Cause that's where I was living. Yeah. And so, they gave me the name for this group of women. Mind you, I'm 36 at the time. And so I, call it and it's this sweet old lady. And, she's like, I'm like, hey, I got your number from the church. Like it says you have a group that meets. I was just wanting to come. And she said, you know, we're right finishing up our study. So, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks, you could join us. And I was completely dejected, completely deflated. I was like, okay, great. Hung up the phone and was like, 2 seconds later, my phone rings and it's her. And her name is Rosemary. And she goes, wow, I'm so sorry. I'm a verbal processor. I did not mean that you shouldn't come. Like that was just me thinking out loud. Please come. We would love for you to come. It doesn't matter what we're doing. Please come and be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And I walked into that room and it was all these ladies. And at the time they were like all older than me, in their like 40s and 50s and 60s even. And they had so much wisdom and so much grace. Mm. And like, they were just, and I'm thinking like, they're going to judge me because I'm this like crazy lady who's got all these kids and this like chaos. And they were like, no, come. And they were so kind and gracious to me and really accepted me for what I was going through. And their wisdom was so great. So, so I definitely had people walking me along the path because otherwise you just can't do it. Like, no. I mean, and what's funny is, you know, I talk about the experience of Jesus. I spent the next, honestly, 5 years diving into the Bible. Like I was so hungry for it. And I think that really was great. And then, you know, after that, I'm in it. But like, I think for me now it's more like it's a both and, you know, it's a both and.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, having the people to walk with you is huge and being able to feel like that support of people that are not judging you because when you come from a place of where I feel shame, because I feel like people are judging me and I'm judging myself.
Yeah. Oh, right. The worst critic.
And that's, I know, right. We have that. And I think that's something that is is very prevalent across the board in humanity, not just in the church.
Yeah.
So that's all. And now ministry-wise, you work at the church.
Ministry-wise, right? I work at the church.
Like this, you've gone from like I'm shutting it out to now I'm like fully embracing it. Fully that is my entire life besides family. But
It's been interesting. I never would have thought I would have landed here. Yeah. But that's just kind of what God does, is he just kind of is like, hey, this you thought was hard? Let me show you it's not hard. I'm mostly just like hospitality and guest services and that kind of thing. And I do think I'm really well equipped by God to do all that stuff.
Well, and if you hadn't gone the path that you went, how many people, women specifically, would you have not been able to connect with on an authentic level? Because I think that's, you talk about the hypocrisy in the people that have grown up in the church. They've always been at church. They've never experienced anything. Not that you need to go out and do bad things. I haven't never really done bad things. I got married at 21 and like whatever. So, but at the same time, I've experienced things that allow me to be authentic and real with people and understand where they're coming from. How many times have you been able to go to that and say, look, I've been there and really actually truly mean it?
Yeah. I do think that's one of the coolest things about God, is he doesn't ever waste experiences. Mm-hmm. He never wastes any tears, you know, everything that goes wrong. He's like, I'll make it good. I'll renew it. I'll restore it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that has been cool. And I do think it's really important to say that, like, you don't have to have gone out and had all these horrible things, but like your worst thing is still your worst thing.
Yes.
And God uses all of that. And I think as long as we're just willing to be genuine and meet people where they are, like, it doesn't do anybody any good to just have a pat answer like, oh, I'll pray for you, you know? And I don't, fortunately, I truly don't think I meet very many, honestly, I don't think I meet very many people. I think we've kind of, you know, taken steps. I think church has become a place where people feel more comfortable to be themselves. Mm-hmm. In general, across the board. I mean, like and the church that I go to, and so I do think that that's good, because no one wants to come in and fake it. You don't want to come and pretend like you're okay. Mm-hmm. So I think we're my heart would be that we continue to create a place where people can come and not see us, but see Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, through
not see us and see Jesus. I think that's, I think that's the problem with society today. And I think even the church today, is that there's not enough focus on let them see Jesus, whatever that looks like in your life. So Jen, thanks for coming. I appreciate that. I think we should probably have an explicit version soon. Talk about some of the details. I think that might get a lot of listens there.
Probably would.
But is there any place, I know you're on Instagram and you're on the Facebook. Is there any place that people can reach out to you if maybe they've heard their story and they're like, man, Jen, that really.
Actually, Instagram or Facebook would be great. Or they can look me up on the church website at friends.church. But I do love to talk and listen and hear stories. So I'm down to talk about anything. Awesome. So
that's one thing that I can attest to. That's for sure. Jen, thanks so much for coming. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.